This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day and a good day to be together in this time of worship. It's my joy to welcome all of you, those who are joining us over live stream and those who are here in the sanctuary. I would invite all of us to sign in this morning and let us know that you're here. If you are visiting with us, we hope that you feel the Spirit of Christ in this place, that you feel welcomed, and we would encourage you to sign in and share with us an email address or a mailing address, and let us reach out to you in conversation. As we gather this morning, if you have been worshiping with us for a while and praying about becoming officially a member of the congregation, we have a new member class starting this Wednesday from 6 to 7 over Zoom. It will take place for 4 weeks, and there's information in the bulletin about how to sign up for that class so that we can welcome you in that way. Other news as we gather this morning. This afternoon from 4 to 6 in the Fourth Story Theater, we have our opening of our Earth Month art show. And there's art that's been done by folks in our congregation and in our community to celebrate this Earth Month. And we hope that you'll come and be part of that art opening. Also happening today, throughout the building, there is an abatement going on from our flooding, and so some of our traffic patterns are a little different. If you have children who will be on the fourth floor this morning for Sunday school, we ask you to go straight out this door, past Reed Hall and the library, and use the stairs toward the back to get up to the fourth floor. If you need the elevators, you can take them up to the third floor and then go up to the fourth floor that way. And we'll forgive our mess. We're all under construction. Both figuratively and literally. Also happening this week on Thursday, we have our Lenten Noon Concert, as we've been enjoying every Thursday at noon. This Thursday, our very own Andrew Reisinger will be playing the organ. We invite you to stay for lunch afterwards and just RSVP and let us know to count you in. Another word for families with children, make sure and put on your calendars next Saturday's Easter egg hunt from 9:45 to 11:15 here at the church. And looking ahead, Vacation Bible School is June 27th through 30th. The Children's Council has decided to do that in the evenings this year from 5 to 8. So hoping to give folks more opportunities to volunteer. So our registration is now open for that. And finally, for those who are wondering, my marriage is still intact after last night. My husband went to Carolina Law School and I went to Duke. And I still love him. So we're good, aren't we, sweetie? Yes, we are. So today, our theme is all about love one another as I have loved you. So it's a good word for me this morning, a good word for all of us as we consider the congregation's vow that we make in baptism, which is that we will nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include the new people among us in our circle of love. So let us praise God for this invitation to be a community of love and forgiveness.
Thank you. Jesus has given us a new commandment. Just as Christ loved us. By this, everyone will know we are Christ's disciples. Come, may we join our hearts in worship. God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Trusting in these promises, let us confess our sins and seek God's pardon on this Lenten journey. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love, and we have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love in whatever form feels most comfortable to you. And if you're watching with us online, you can do so in the chat. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. God, through Christ you give us the water of life. Make us thirsty for your word, that we may give witness to your great love poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. A lesson from the Gospel of John. Now, before the festival of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it in the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. During supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel. After he washed their feet, he put on his robe and returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to have a special moment with the children. If you're here in the sanctuary, you can come forward, and this is closed right now for communion, so we have to go all the way around and come and join me up here. And if you're worshiping from home, just move a little closer to the screens, and we'll wave at you. Here we go. Come on up. You can come through here. Come on up. Yeah, you've got it right. Come on up. Yay, look at everybody. Come on up. We'll have a seat right up here with me. So glad to see all of you. Come on up. I have a seat. Yes, thanks for helping with communion today. All right. Well, Mr. Rob just read for us one of my very favorite stories in the Bible. And it's about Jesus with his disciples. And they have just finished dinner together. And Jesus knows that he is about to be arrested. And he's about to die on the cross. And we're going to be hearing that story in a couple of weeks before Easter Sunday when he is resurrected. But what he does with them at that dinner is he goes around and he washes all of their feet. And that's not something we do very often in today. But back then, it was something that people had to do a lot because they wore sandals and they walked on dirty roads and their feet were probably really dirty and they got blisters and calluses. And I'm sure their feet were not very pretty. And those disciples might have been a little embarrassed that Jesus was seeing their feet. In fact, we didn't hear it in what Mr. Rob read, but one of the disciples, Peter, tried to stop Jesus, saying, "No, you don't need to wash my feet." And he kind of wanted to hide his feet from Jesus. But Jesus wanted to wash Peter's feet and all of their feet. Jesus didn't want them to feel like they had to hide anything from him. And that's how he loves us too. He loves us so much that there's nothing we need to hide from Jesus. He loves every single part of you. There's nothing we have to be ashamed of or embarrassed about. So I hope that you know that Jesus loves every single thing about you and just loves you and accepts you just as you are. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you for loving us so much, loving us no matter what. And there's nothing we ever have to hide from you. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all so much. All right, if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Brandon to Children's Church. And if you're older, you can go back and sit with family or friends. And Pastor Maggie, too. It is such a joy every Sunday to sit up here with these children. It's been a joy recently to have so many babies being baptized in the life of our congregation. And when I talk with parents who are getting ready to bring their babies or their children up for baptism, many of them are worried that their baby's going to cry. That they're going to get up here and the baby's going to be fussy. And especially at the 11 o'clock service, you know, when you're getting toward feeding time and all the things that can happen, they're just worried that their baby's going to cry. And so I always tell them, first of all, any of us who are parents, we've all been there. We understand. Second of all, if you can't cry in church, where can you cry? And third of all, no matter what happens up here, this is something that brings our congregation tremendous joy, that we have a new person to welcome into the church family. Baptisms are moments of great joy for us as a congregation. But we know that they're more than that. As we gather around a family that's bringing a child for baptism, or as we gather around a person who's coming forward for baptism, we not only have great joy, we have great responsibility. Because we understand that baptism is a three-part covenant. The first part of the covenant is what God gives to us. Baptism is an acknowledgement, an outward sign of what is already true, that God loves us unconditionally, that God pours out upon us what we Methodists love to call prevenient grace, grace that is given to us before we understand it, before we claim it. It's just already ours. So the first part of the covenant is God's unconditional love for us. The second piece of the covenant comes from the person being baptized or the family that brings them forward. And they answer the questions of the faith that we've been studying and exploring together these past few weeks. If they're parents, they promise to raise their child in the faith and to set an example of Christian life. And then there's the third piece of the covenant, and that's all of us. The congregation makes a vow and a promise. That's one reason why in the Methodist Church we don't do private baptisms, except under very extenuating circumstances. Because the congregation, the body of Christ, needs to be present. And you know the question. If you've been worshiping here for the past few weeks, you've heard it a few times. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this person now before you in your care? And then we answer, and I bet some of you could do this by heart, with God's help. We will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this person with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in service and so forth. Nurture one another. Include the new. Proclaim the good news. Live according to the example of Christ. Surround one another with a community of love and forgiveness. Ooh, there is so much to unpack. And it's a communion meditation, so I got to keep this short. So I would invite you, honestly, to ponder these words, to ponder this vow. We'll have lots of opportunities in the upcoming weeks. And see and investigate, what's the promise you're making to God and to the community, and to the one being baptized? But this morning, I want to focus on nurture and include. We say we'll follow the example of Christ, and I can think of no more powerful example of nurture and inclusion than Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Think about it. These disciples, for 3 years, have been following Jesus through Galilee and Judea and Jericho and Jerusalem. They have gotten their feet calloused and dirty and cracked and broken and hurting. And they've been with Jesus pouring out love and healing to others, to the last, the least, and the lost. But now Jesus gathers them and prays for them and loves on them and nurtures them. And he goes around this table, taking the role of one who would, the most menial servant in the household was the one who was to wash people's feet. And yet here is Jesus, their leader, their teacher, their Lord, kneeling in front of them and cradling these feet of theirs, nurturing the most vulnerable, difficult parts of them. Jerry Ishii pointed out in Bible study on Tuesday that these men would have been leaning into the table. They reclined when they ate, and they'd have their heads and their arms facing the table, but their feet were way back here where nobody could see in that outer circle of feet. Because who wants to see that, you know? And yet that is where Jesus goes, to love them and to nurture them. I understand those disciples. I understand that desire to hide those parts of myself, of my personality, of my life that are broken and calloused and that I'm ashamed of. Those vulnerable spots that are too hard to bring in front of people. And yet, As Jesus sets the example for us, that is exactly what we are called to bring to the table of the church, is our full selves, our vulnerability, our doubts, our struggles, our sins, our mistakes, all of it. And trust that in this body we can find nurture and forgiveness and grace and love. It's happened here. Just a few months ago, actually about a year ago, as part of our Project Thrive conversations, we gathered people together to share stories about what brought you to West End, United Methodist Church. Why do you stay? And when did you know that this was your spiritual home, your family? And we heard story after story from people, and almost all of them were moments when people felt vulnerable, people were broken and in pain, and they found in this place among these people love and forgiveness and comfort and hope. One gentleman told a story about he and his family had just started coming, they had just started visiting a Sunday school class. His father died there was visitation about an hour away from Nashville, and he's standing at the visitation, and here comes his Sunday school class. They surrounded him with a community of love. Or someone else who told the story of having lost her husband at a young age, and she would come to church every Sunday and sit in the pew and cry. And at times she felt embarrassed, and I shouldn't be crying in church, but again, if you can't cry in church, where can you cry? People around her would hand her tissues and put their arm around her shoulder and just sit with her in her grief. And she said, "This congregation healed me." There's story after story of that kind of love and connection, and it almost always happens when we are willing to share our brokenness, our struggles, our pain with each other. We are called to follow the example of Christ and nurture one another and be willing to cradle one another, even those things we would rather hide from each other. And we are called to include the new, to welcome the stranger. I don't know if you've ever had an experience of being the new person, and entering into a group that already knows each other. They have their inside jokes, their stories. They know and love each other well. Maybe it was a group of friends, or maybe it was a Sunday school class, or a Bible study group, or some group that's already so loving and connected. But it can be hard to break into those, to feel welcome when you're not part of the shared story of that group. And so we have these two invitations in our baptismal vow: to nurture one another, to know each other's stories, to love each other unconditionally, and always to remain open in heart and mind and spirit to the new one who might come to us. To welcome their stories, their experiences, no matter how different from our own they might be, because that is how God continues to bring beauty into the body of Christ. And when I think about inclusion and the radical inclusion we are called to in the life of the church, I think about Jesus washing those disciples' feet and what happened when he came to Judas. Because Judas Iscariot is still in the room. And so Jesus kneels at Judas's feet and washes them, knowing already that Judas has betrayed him, knowing what Judas is about to do when he leaves that table, and yet Jesus loves him anyway and treats him with the same love and grace he treats the others. I wonder if Jesus was trying to say to Judas, "I know already, and I forgive you in advance. And I am leaving the door open for you to come back to me." We know that Judas wasn't able to do that. But I believe from Jesus' point of view, Judas was included in that love. And if Jesus was that inclusive, How are we to live into the example that he set? Jesus sets a high standard for the church, that we love one another as he has loved us. There are some ways we live into that so well, and there are still so many ways that we and I need to grow and stretch ourselves to do even more, to love even more radically as Jesus loves. But it helps me to remember the very first phrase of our response in that baptismal covenant. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We can be the church God calls us to be with God's help. May it be so at West End United Methodist Church. May it be so in every church all around the world. Amen.
One of the ways we remind ourselves of our calling of inclusion and belonging is to profess our faith openly with one another. So please stand in body or spirit and turn to page 883 in your hymnal and proclaim with me our statement of faith from the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayer requests. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team, we will pray for you throughout the week. Just look at the gray card in the pew rack in front of you, and you can fill that out with a prayer request and put it in one of the offering boxes, either in the narthex or on your way to Reed Hall. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving and humble teacher, we hear that you wash the disciples' feet, and we are here in this broken world. By our foolish arrogance, men and women just like us, and so we pray for the healing of humility to flood every corner of our world. Where there is exploitation and God-imaged people are dehumanized, bring your justice. Where there is neglect and the needs of the poorest are ignored, pave a way so that all people have enough. Where there is disdain and the sacred value of creatures and the earth are denied, cover their bodies and this world with dignity. Wherever there is violence and war takes lives and livelihoods, infuse your peace. Wherever people are tempted to think of themselves as better than others, more worthy, more deserving, more important to you, may your humility break us. May it break in and challenge us, reminding us of our need and teaching us to serve and to love everyone with the grace and humility you showed us. Amen. And it is in the spirit of prayer that we extend our deepest sympathies to the family of our longtime West End member, Eloise Beloit, who passed away on March 28th. At the time of this publication, services have not been finalized. And there will be a visitation with the family of John Schrenkter, this is Linda Luden's father, on Friday, April 8th, from 3:30 to 5 p.m. in Reed Hall. As we prepare for a time to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and feel led. For those of us worshiping online, you can click the link in the chat. And for those here in the worship service, you can get one of those little envelopes and put it in one of the boxes, either in on the way to Reed Hall or in the narthex. God has given all that we have and all that we are. Let us return our offering with gratitude and love.
lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, loving God, creator of heaven and earth. In love, you made us for yourself. When we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, your love remained steadfast. You bid your faithful people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Easter feast, that renewed by your word and sacraments and fervent in prayer and works of justice and mercy, we may come to the fullness of grace that you have prepared for those who love you. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to redeem the world. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in our likeness. He humbled himself and knelt before his disciples to wash their feet. He gave them a new commandment to love one another as he himself had loved them. And then he journeyed to the cross for us all. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts and on all who are gathered together. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one in with ministry with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
My family in Christ, this is the body of Christ, broken for us that all our brokenness might be healed. And this is the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation, to give us life from this day forward. The table is set. Our host is Jesus Christ himself, and everyone is invited to this table. If this is your first time worshiping in this particular congregation, this is not the table of the United Methodist Church or of West End United Methodist Church. It's Christ's table. And so if you are here, you are welcome at this table. And if you are not here, you are welcome at this table. If this is your first time to receive in this place, however, we want to tell you a little bit about how we do that. We will invite our choir to be served first, followed by those in the transepts, and then the rest in the nave and the balcony. And you can make your way down the center aisle and find a place to kneel as you're able at the altar rail. If you'll have your hands open, our servers will bring you bread, which is gluten-free. All the bread is gluten-free, and a cup. And after receiving the elements, you can remain kneeling in prayer as long as you would like. If you are unable to make your way forward, Stacy and John Nance will be making their way around the sanctuary to bring the elements to you. Always, as we gather, we have an opportunity to give to one of the missions of our congregation. And this month's communion offering goes to support campus ministries in the United Methodist Church here in our area. So that means Fisk, TSU, Belmont, and of course, our own Vanderbilt, where Nancy is the campus minister. This is giving that helps to support the spiritual life and well-being of our young people and our students. So we hope that you will pray for them as you give this morning. And now our host invites us to come, receive the grace that is here, receive these elements, receive the nurture and the love. to rise in body or spirit, and let us give thanks for what we have received at this table. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. We have been at the table of Christ. We have been nurtured and loved and forgiven and fed. Full of that grace, let us go now into the world to share it freely with all. In Christ's name, amen.